Well, let's shift gears entirely and end the show today with some sports talk with Bill Littlefield, the host of NPR's Only a Game. Bill, I am so delighted to see you across the table from me again today.
It's a great pleasure to be here, Magda.
Okay, you know, I thought we were going to start with some light sports news, but we're not. We're going to start with something a little more serious, because what's this about Red Sox broadcaster Jerry Remy saying that language interpreters shouldn't be allowed on the pitcher's mound during Major League Baseball games?
Yeah, apparently during a broadcast, he made that opinion public, and I'm pretty sure he wishes he hadn't. No good can come of this sort of thing, obviously.
Well, let's play the actual tape of what happened here, because apparently his comments came during yesterday's game between the Sox and the Yankees. It had to be that, right? After Yankees...
otherwise, nobody would have been paying attention.
Yeah. And this happened after Yankees pitcher Masahiro Tanaka from Japan had a translator and a pitching coach meet with him on the mound. And so we're going to hear what Jerry Remy says. He speaks first in this exchange with co-announcer Dave O'Brien.
With Tanaka, they take out a translator. I don't think that should be legal.
Seriously?
I really don't.
Well, I mean, Tanaka can reportedly speak English well enough to speak informally with his teammates. But, I mean, Remy was, I think he was making the point. What point was he making, actually?
Well, that's what it's a little bit hard to understand. It's obviously a personal opinion. Major League Baseball has made it very clear that they're perfectly happy having translators. In fact, teams are required to have translators for Spanish-speaking players. The question I had when I first heard about this story was, what possible advantage does somebody gain by having a translator come out with the pitching coach? There is no competitive advantage to be gained by that, so why would there be an objection? It's sort of the sports version of, if an immigrant wants to come to this country, then they, by golly, better learn English, because they shouldn't expect to be able to get by in their own language. And that's insane.
I mean, didn't Remy actually even refer to baseball language as a thing?
Yeah, and I think what he was talking about there was, you know, one is a fastball, two is a curveball. I mean, it's not hard. Or, you know, put your hands down like this. It means keep the ball low to this guy or he'll hit out of the park. That's almost irrelevant. But the idea of, you know, that there shouldn't be a translator because why? There is no competitive advantage to be gained by it, so I don't really see why it's an issue.
As American as baseball, apple pie, and linguistic bigotry,
yeah,
I guess.
And baseball, of course, is so much less U.S. than it used to be. I've been sort of looking over the figures in preparation for coming over here today, and you know, Hispanic players, Spanish-speaking players, yeah, number somewhere between 27% and 30% in Major League Baseball, and in the minor leagues, I'm sure the percentage is much higher. And, of course, this is a trend that began when the people running Major League Baseball teams suddenly figured out that they could sign a whole lot of Latino players for what it cost them to sign one through the draft in the U.S. So it's economics. And so, you know, again, it's not a U.S. game anymore exclusively. It hasn't been for quite a long time. There are players from all over the world, and especially from Spanish-speaking countries. And there's really no reason why they shouldn't be accommodated, those of them who do not grow up speaking English.
Well, it's interesting because apparently Remy's comments come just a couple of days after Mike Schmidt had to apologize for saying that a Spanish-speaking Phillies player could not be a team leader because of that same language barrier, I guess. And we've got some tape here of Schmidt critiquing Phillies Obel Herrera on Philadelphia's CBS radio.
First of all, it's a language barrier. And, you know, because of that, I think he can't be a guy that would, you know, sort of sit in a circle with four or five American players and talk about the game.
Okay, so this is slightly different than having a conversation on the pitcher's mound with a pitching coach. I mean, I'm just gonna play the devil's advocate here, Bill. Does he have a point? I mean, what role does the team leader play? And specifically here, that, you know, perhaps could it require a facility in English to effectively be that leader?
Well, the first point that occurs to me is that somebody who speaks Spanish is probably going to be speaking to 30% of the team perfectly comfortably.
Good point.
That's point number one. So right. If he's got four or five players sitting around him, two of those players are very likely to be very comfortable with his Spanish. Maybe we should wonder why people in this country don't learn more than one language.
I feel like we need the Justin Trudeau of baseball now.
That's another issue entirely.
You know how the Canadian leader does his all his press conferences in English and French? We need like the Justin Trudeau of baseball.
Yeah. The other thing is, to the point that you were making, there are all kinds of ways to be a leader. There are a great many athletes, not just baseball players, who have been superb leaders within the context of their teams who are not especially articulate. And I could name some of them at the risk of making a fool of myself or getting myself in hot water, so I won't. But people can probably, sports fans at least, can probably make their own lists.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of ways to lead. Beyond that, if a player who speaks Spanish primarily wants to be in a leadership role and he wants to communicate to players who don't speak Spanish on his team and say something specific, that's precisely why Major League Baseball now requires teams to have translators.
Those translators, exactly.
So I don't really see the issue there either.
Yeah. Well, let's talk for a second about another controversial subject in sports. And this is the fact that the Massachusetts legislature is considering a bill that would ban the use of Native American mascots in public schools. And this comes after the town of Tewksbury refused to change the name of the town high school mascot. And actually, in Tewksbury, there was overwhelming support to keep the name.
Mm-hmm. As there has been in lots of towns where this sort of controversy has come up, people are very passionately wedded to tradition in this particular sort of matter. And again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, I suppose. My feeling is, why not pick a more fun mascot and not run the risk of offending anybody, because it's sometimes hard to tell who's going to be offended by what. I'm a fan, for example, of the Santa Cruz Fighting Banana Slugs, who offend nobody because banana slugs are incapable of expressing.
There's probably a banana slugs rights organization
there. Will be
there
after this broadcast.
But on a more serious note, I mean, like, look, according to the New England Anti-Mascot Coalition, there are 89 different schools with Native American mascots, not to mention the fact that the flag of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the seal of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, also has a Native person on there. But we've actually had that discussion before on this show. Hey, Bill, we've got just under a minute to go, and I would love if you could give me a preview of what we're going to hear on Only a Game this weekend.
Well, we're going to celebrate the 100th anniversary of a birth of a great athlete, and I don't know if we have the time to hear any of the tape that goes along with that, but we are going to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the birth of Man of War, one of the great four-legged athlete. In 1920, there were two athletes of the year in the United States. One was Man of War, and the other was Babe Ruth. And we haven't been able yet to determine how Babe Ruth felt about sharing that title with Man of War. But everybody we've talked to so far has said that they feel that he should have been flattered.
Bill Littlefield, thanks so much.
Thanks, Magna.
That's it for today. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.